from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Sounders Weekly with your host, Jackson Feltz.
Good evening. Welcome in to Sounders Weekly. Jackson Feltz here on your radio home for the Rave Green, Sports Radio 950 KJR. May the 4th be with all of you. Thank you for tuning us in tonight. Every Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock here on KJR. Sounders Weekly covering everything on Sounders FC. It will be a busy, busy show tonight. Sounders hosted the LA Galaxy this last Sunday evening. 3-0 the final score. You get two goals in succession in the 20th and 23rd minutes. Rui Diaz, Brad Smith again. Second goal in as many games. We had him on Sounders Weekly last week. We were talking to him about continuing that scoring streak. Well, he does it. And then Rui Diaz with his second goal of the game. That finishes off 3-0. That came in the 93rd minute. Sounders with the victory go to first place, not only in the Western Conference, but in the entire league. If you look around the various pundits from MLSsoccer.com and all the shows around the nation, pretty much every single one of them right now have the Sounders at number one in the power rankings, and it's pretty easy to see why. From a 4-0 win over Minnesota, and Minnesota's had a very, very tough start to the year. Then you have 1-1 against LAFC that could have very easily been a win. Few chances down the stretch. Really an unfortunate goal given up at the very start of that game about a week and a half ago. And then you have this on Sunday, 3-0 over the Galaxy, who, by the way, were 2-0 at that point. Chicharito, 5 goals in 6 games. Yeah, he only had one shot off target, missed in the 52nd minute in a goal, by the way, that would have changed a lot of things had it gone in point blank range. Chicharito misses. He is shut out, as is the Galaxy, and the Sounders rise up. So that is going to be a big topic here on tonight's show. Kellen Rowe, Sounder, I should say, for the first time, gets his first start against the Galaxy this last Sunday. He is, of course, a Federal Way native. We've talked a lot about him here in the first few shows, including pre- and post-game shows. He's come off the bench, but Josh Atencio picks up a knock in training just before that match against the Galaxy. I believe it was on Friday or Saturday he picks up that. And Kellen Rowe has to jump into the starting lineup, and he gets his first start in front of his home crowd there. It's so cool to see for a guy who's been in New England and KC. He's bounced around, and now he's finally back home with the Sounders, and we see him start there. So we're going to be joined by Kellen Rowe in just a matter of moments. We're also going to talk with Sounders general manager and president of soccer, Garth Lagerwey. And this is the first week for Tacoma Defiance. We'll also have Andrew Harvey, Defiance play-by-play voice, on to give us 60 seconds in the South Sound. He will, of course, talk about Defiance starting up. And OL Reign, they got their second win of the year just last night, 2-1. So Andrew will be on to talk about the Reign victory and Defiance. But Garth, I have some questions to him about what we're going to see out of Defiance coming up this year. Wade Weber is the new head coach of Defiance. Why was Wade the right guy for the job? What are the new young names that we're going to be hearing with Defiance that we need to know about? We've started to hear the name Reed Baker Whiting. You may have heard it once or twice over the last year or so on these shows. We got another name for you. It's Obed Vargas. Obed Vargas is a name that I want to talk to you about with Garth Lagerwey here in a little bit. So Garth coming up, Andrew coming up, and in our final segment, yeah, we're previewing the next match. It's Sounders Timbers again. I don't know if it's 113, I think it might be, but it has been a long history between these clubs, and last year, and they played about 17 times, of course, joking, obviously, but they played a lot last year, no doubt, and this series continues with the first rivalry match. They're also called derbies in the soccer world, so the first derby of 2021, Sounders Timbers coming up this Sunday, 11:30 pregame, noon kickoff, right here on KJR for Sounders and Timbers. So Jake Zivin, as he always does, he is the Portland Timbers play-by-play voice. He will be joining us a little bit later on tonight to talk Sounders, Timbers, and the fact that the Timbers have a match coming up actually tomorrow, CONCACAF Champions League. How is that going to affect the lineup that the Timbers send out on Sunday? Jake Zivin will be a little bit later on in the show. But there he is calling in. Let's begin the show here tonight by talking to the Sounders midfielder who made his first start in Rave Green. I imagine it was pretty darn fun for him this last Sunday. Kellen Rowe joining us right here on Sounders Weekly. Kellen, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Happy to be home.
Yeah, for sure, man. Let's jump right in on that. We'll get to talking about the Galaxy game here in a moment, but you know, what's been this year like for you so far, being able to finally play in front of your home crowd wearing the right colors?
Yeah, you know, it's a dream come true. I've always wanted to play for the Sounders, come back home and play in front of my family, my friends, and the people that have kind of helped me through my career as a youth player. And I'm now able to do that. So it's all smiles for me.
Kellen, I wanted to kind of step back for a moment and talk about this community and being from here and now being able to return. You look around the organization and from Brian, a Seattle native who's back here, Wade Weber, also from Federal Way, now coaching Tacoma Defiance. It seems like this community has a way of always being able to bring those people back, whether it's you who spent so long away from Seattle now playing for the club again, whether it's those guys, there's many more, Craig Weibel, the new sporting director, being a local as well. What's it about this area that is able to just capture those soccer people, and it happens in other sports too, but specifically the soccer people, and keeps them tied to this community?
I think there's a sense of pride, you know, being from the Washington area and wanting to be a part of it. I mean, Washington is one of the most loyal, the North Pacific Northwest, honestly, is just some of the most loyal people in the world. They will do anything to support one of their own. So, and you kind of see it with the fans, you see it with the team now, you see it with the players, and you see it with the youth. I think it is great. So everyone wants to come back and play in front of their family and friends, but they want to play the city, the state that really brought them up.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's absolutely right on. The pride that people have being from here weighs so heavily, I think. You know, we had Garth Lagerwey, your GM, on a couple weeks ago, and he was telling the story about how in the off season, how you guys linked up, and maybe you can add more color to the story of what happened, but he was talking about how you and the front office jumped on a call and how you expressed deeply that you wanted to play for this team. And you know, your time with New England was up last year, and you really wanted to come home and play for the Sounders. What was that conversation like when you got on the phone with Brian and Garth, and I believe Chris at that point was also on the call, Chris Henderson, and how did that situation evolve, and how did that kind of phone call evolve where it turned from that into you signing with the team?
It was a good conversation that we had. It was a good long conversation, and for me, I wanted the staff, the front office, coaches, whatever it may be, I wanted them to hear, you know, from me, not from my agent, not from another team. I wanted them to hear from me that this is where I wanted to be, that I want to come back and play for this team. And the biggest thing for me was, look, I've always said I wanted to retire in Seattle. I've wanted to have this moment, but I don't want to retire yet. You know, I don't want to have just 1 year and retire in Seattle. I want to have a career here. I want to build a name here. And that has to start soon because, you know, you can't play forever. So I said, you know, this is my time and I want it to be now.
Yeah, for sure. You're only 29 years old. You still have a number of years left in you, and hopefully all of that is spent in Rave Green. But Kellen Rowe with a Sounders midfielder, home for the first time playing in the Rave Green. Kellen, let's talk about the Galaxy game where you get the start and a big 3-0 win. Just your impressions of the game, kind of how it flowed. It felt like the Galaxy got a couple stretches in each half, but ultimately you're able to shut them out and get 3 goals yourself.
You know, I don't think there's ever going to be a perfect game where a team doesn't get anything on us. They'll have good spells of possession. They'll have good chances. That's just the way that soccer works. The fact that we're able to repel those is amazing and continuously do so. That's great. Especially this early in the season, we hope to, you know, tighten those ships up. So instead of 3 chances, they may get 1. But again, that's the way soccer works. You know, it was a happy game for us. I think we were very excited to get away with the win. And we've got some special players that can make special moments when things aren't going well. You know, you got the speed of Brad Smith to go down the line and create 2 goals, assist and a goal on his own. So it's amazing that we can have those players to kind of help us out and push us through those tough spells and games.
You know, Callan, earlier today, I unfortunately, but maybe in a funny way, I'm not sure if you're able to laugh about it yet, but I called you the most unlucky person in the world on Sunday because in the you exactly know where I'm going here. And for those who don't, in the 81st minute, you actually put together a really, you know, sneaky good shot. You pop it over the LA keeper, and he basically gives up on the play. It goes over his head, and you just look at the body language, and it looks like he just knows, yep, that's a goal. It hits off the crossbar, bounces then, and hits off the post, and somehow doesn't go in the back of the net. Take me through exactly what you saw and what your brain must have been thinking in that moment where Nico's even celebrating at that point. Nico pushes you to begin a goal celebration, and it looks like it's going in, and just stunning. It doesn't.
Yeah, it was, you have to be effing kidding me. kind of moment. I've done everything I could. You got to be kidding me. It would have been, you know, a real storybook ending, but, you know, I've got many games where I can hopefully score a goal for the club. But, you know, it's just one of those things. Luckily, it wasn't like a game-winning thing. It was just going to tally on something else. So I'm just glad we got the victory. But, yeah, it was. I've seen it a few times now, and I've had buddies kind of, you know, it's not that hard, man. Just put it in the goal.
Oh, so you are able to laugh about it at this point, because if the game was 1-0, it's a different story. But because it's just 3-0 already, yeah. Callan, last thing for you, and we obviously talked about how you're from here, and this week we have Sounders Timbers. I think it's something like the 113, 14, or 15th time, and to be a part of it now for the first time, Sounders Timbers, what's it going to be like for you on Sunday? Or is it kind of just, are you able to reflect yet? Or is it still just kind of game mode? Here's what we have to prep for.
Look, I'm obviously prepping, but in the back of my mind, I know this is the game that I want to play in. You know, these are the games that, you know, you always watch when you're away. These are the games that everyone kind of gets up for. And like I said, that sense of pride, this is when that pride comes through. So, you know, obviously I'm going to do my homework. I'm going to make sure that I'm ready for the game. But in the back of my mind, I know maybe that, you know, in the 80th minute, I've got an extra 10 minutes in me that is a big push because I know this game's important.
That's interesting. Is that a normal thing for a player to be able to just access that just little bit extra and say, this is a different type of game? Whether, I mean, you compared to, say, if it's a game against, I don't know, the Rapids or whoever else. If it's against the Timbers, are you able to access that little bit extra because it's a different opponent?
Well, let's say this. So, you know, you could be playing against any kind of opponent, but the second you go against a sibling, there's that extra push, right?
Yeah.
It's the same kind of competitiveness and the same kind of pride. Now, can you access it in other games? Of course you can. Sometimes it's through the fans. Sometimes it's through a tackle or a bad call or a missed chance. But this one comes down to that extra thing is probably the pride of Washington.
That's well said. And that's something, you know, we talk about playing in front of fans, you know, later on in this year, hopefully we get 40,000 in the building and we'll have you back on the show. And I want to definitely at that point talk to you what it's like to be able to play in front of 40,000. Even just the 7,000 we're seeing is awesome to see at Lumen Field. Callan, it's great to have you back home. Such an awesome addition for this team. We look forward to seeing you here on Sunday against Portland and go out and get another victory here early in the year. Thanks so much again for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Callan Rowe, Seattle Sounders midfielder. Great to visit with him there for a few minutes. You know, we'll see exactly what he does against Portland. Josh Atencio took that knock in training before the Galaxy game. So how exactly Callan Rowe fits into the lineup this Sunday is going to be something definitely to watch. He slid in there for Atencio and played great. Nicholas Ladero also now healthy. So does Nico take that spot that Atencio and Rowe was in? And Brian Schmetzer is able to shift around that midfield. We'll see exactly the way Schmetzer organizes it with his assistant coaches here on Sunday. But whether it's off the bench or in the starting lineup, Callan Rowe, a major part of this team, certainly in 2021. Well, we'll take a break and we'll come back and visit with the Sounders general manager and president of soccer, Garth Lagerwey. We'll get an injury update on Josh Atencio. We'll also talk about Tacoma Defiance because their first game is coming up. So we'll talk to Garth all about what you were going to see from Defiance here early in the season. Also, Andrew Harvey, 60 seconds in the South Sound, and still coming up later on tonight, we're going to preview the Portland Timbers match with Jake Zivin, play-by-play voice of the Timbers. A lot coming up on Sounders Weekly on Sports Radio 950 KJ.
Now back to Sounders Weekly on your home for Sounders FC, Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Welcome back. Jackson Feltz here on your radio home for the Raid Green, Sports Radio 950 KJR. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight. And thanks to Kellen Rowe for joining us there in our first segment. If you miss any of tonight's show, make sure to check out the podcast later on at sportsradiokjr.com. But before we bring on Sounders GM, President of Soccer Garth Lagerwey, a quick few news and notes to supply. This was a change this morning that happened. Two upcoming matches at home are both changing the dates. So the match against Austin FC on May 29th has now moved to May 30th, a day later, 6 o'clock. Pregame 6:30 kickoff there against Austin. That's now May 30th instead of 29th. Also, way later on down the road here, but just make sure that you have it on your calendar if you need to. Seattle's match against the San Jose Earthquakes on August 1st has been moved to July 31st, so a day earlier. That match against San Jose on July 31st, now kicking off at 2 o'clock Pacific. Also, quick news and note here before we bring Garth on. All Seattle Sounders FC first team players, as well as support staff, they are all fully vaccinated. This was a thing that came out last week. In addition to the first team, all Tacoma Defiance staff and eligible players are also fully vaccinated. Great news. And to make matters even better, you probably saw this if you were at the stadium on Sunday. The Sounders are partnering with Virginia Mason Franciscan Health to offer vaccines at the stadium for free. No appointments needed. So if you're going to a Sounders home match, you can go get a vaccine. Just walk up and get it. And oh, by the way, if you get one, you get a voucher for a free hot dog. So you get a shot and you get a free hot dog. It's just fantastic. So great news there. Great partnership there with the Sounders and Virginia Mason Franciscan Health. But now it's time to bring on the Seattle Sounders General Manager and President of Soccer, Garth Lagerwey. Good evening, Garth. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, Jackson.
Good to hear after that 3-0 win over the LA Galaxy, Garth. And let's just start right there and get your impressions of the match, the second goal in as many weeks for Brad Smith, and how about those freaking jerseys? The Jimi Hendrix kit looked absolutely brilliant on Sunday.
No, it was really fun. I mean, that's still a new thing to be playing in front of fans, and that part was great and really enjoyed that and got to debut, you know, what I think is probably the best kit in MLS, maybe in MLS history. So really excited for our partnership with the Hendrix Foundation, the Hendrix family, and everything that has embodied for our fan base and our club. And the result on the field obviously was pretty good again. So that was positive. You know, the new formation, the adjustment to it continues to move forward positively. And, you know, we are seeing more and more good performances from guys that are relatively new to our team, you know, whether that's Jimmy Madranda or Kellen Rowe or Josh Atencio or Danny Leyva or Ethan Doubleair. You know, we really have been moving for the last couple of years to see if we can augment our depth through, you know, those guys certainly aren't all young players, but to have some young players be in the mix and to add some really quality veterans. And I think we've been, you know, so far it looks like we've been successful in doing that, you know, and there's been a lot of talk about everybody who's not here anymore. But I'm cautiously optimistic at this point that maybe we can start talking about the people, who are here, you know, and add Freddie Montero to that conversation. He should be back hopefully, this coming week in terms of being able to participate. So, excited about him. And, you know, all of our center backs, for the most part, have played pretty well. You know, we've rotated through four or even five of them and, you know, been pleased with kind of everybody so far. So just a lot of good foundational starting points so far.
Absolutely. It's been very good. We had a good visit with Kellen Rowe a few minutes ago. You talked about the injury situation there really quick. Josh Atencio, we know he picked up a knock in training before that LA game. How's he doing? Is that a long-term thing or just short-term?
He's going to, you know, I think we're not sure exactly, but definitely it's, you know, he has an injury. He has a quad strain, and so we'll continue to evaluate that and see how he recovers. But, you know, wouldn't want to say on Wednesday ahead of a 3-game week what his participation could be. You know, we'll give him as much time to recover as we can. But there is an issue there.
Okay. Well, we'll stay tuned to that, and hopefully we get good news here going forward there with Josh Atencio after a very, very impressive first two games of the 2021 season. But Garth Lagerwey is with us, Sounders General Manager, President of Soccer. Garth, we're going to talk a lot about Tacoma with their season starting here on Sunday. Let's just start off with the initial thoughts on their season beginning, what you want to see, specific players. There's one guy in mind I'm going to ask you about as a follow-up question, so I hope you don't bring him up here. But let's just get your initial thoughts and guys you're looking forward to seeing as the season begins for Tacoma here?
You know, we're not done signing players yet to Tacoma yet, so we may still have some additions from the academy ranks before the season. But there's some kids with some good starting points. And, you know, I think it's one of those, Jackson, where different people within the organization have different opinions of different guys. And the good news is there are, you know, at least half a dozen guys that are going to compete for spots and compete to put their best foot forward and to potentially, you know, earn first team contracts at some point. So I think it's a really solid defiance group. I think it's a group that can hopefully get to the point where they can compete for the playoffs. I mean, hopefully COVID will allow that to play a more normal season than last year. And we have a bunch of options, and we have a bunch of guys, you know, that are on first team contracts that are going to be getting some minutes. And that was one of the things that really set us back last year, that we weren't on, you know, we weren't able to move people between teams. So we still can't move them between teams. But hopefully as we get vaccinated, you know, we'll get some more flexibility there. And at the very least, we have the ability to send some guys down for some period of time, as we did last year with Ethan and with Fonz, to let them get defiance games. And so hopefully as we move forward in that, we'll see more and more guys succeed and put themselves in the mix to maybe earn a first team contract down the road.
For sure. And a couple weeks ago, we mentioned and didn't spend too much time on it, Wade Weber being named the Defiance head coach. And we were talking about, you know, the linkage to the area and having, you know, a Seattle guy be the head coach of the Sounders and a Federal Way guy being the head coach of Defiance. But in addition to just the local ties, let's talk about why Wade Weber was the right choice to be the new Defiance head coach with the departure of Chris Little.
You know, Wade had a distinguished professional career as a player. He had done a second distinguished career as an educator, as a teacher. And, you know, then he spent a whole bunch of time coaching and honing his craft, working with youth teams locally, then working in the Sounders Academy. And then he's been the assistant for 3 years with Defiance under two different head coaches, under Hutch and under Chris. And so I think he's had about as good a learning development path with every skill set imaginable to prepare himself for that role. And I'm really excited about his leadership in that position. I think he knows what it takes to be a pro, having played in the pros. I think he understands what it takes to defend at the top level. Wade himself was a center back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think he's going to be perfect to prepare those kids for what comes next. And you know, to get them to bridge this gap between development and first team, and to continue to push prospects up that can hopefully prosper with the first team in the first team environment.
Well, I don't think there's ever been a better person to do both a head coach job and broadcasting duties at the same time, where he's continuing to do pregame, halftime, and postgame here on KGR. It astounds me. He is just exceptional at both of them. I cannot wait to see his first game here coming up this Sunday for Defiance. I believe that's 5 p.m. against LA Galaxy 2. Garth, when we talk about the players on Defiance, and you know, you mentioned how there may be a couple more that are coming from the Academy to Defiance to be signed. Last year, we sprinkled in the name Reed Baker-Whiting, who I want to talk about here, maybe in a week or two, but there's one specific name that I heard over the weekend that I really wanted to talk to you about, and I don't think really any intense Sounder fan, or maybe they have, maybe I'm wrong, but the name Obed Vargas is somebody that is from Anchorage, Alaska. He's a young kid coming up through the system now. I believe he is now, or maybe you can clarify with Defiance or not. But Obed Vargas, tell us about this guy and where you see his career going and what you liked about him as a player.
I think he's a really promising young player. You know, he's a kid who could earn a Defiance contract this year. You know, but regardless, is one of the better prospects coming through from the academy. I'm really excited to be able to have, I mean, our home state program was you know, massively disrupted by COVID as well, understandably. And there's so many layers to having to protect host families and kids and making sure everybody stays safe. And so it's been great to be able to have some of these kids from out of market be able to come back in and rejoin us now. And Obed has shown his ability in preseason. He was with the first team for a decent stretch, and he's been with Wade's group. So he's definitely a young kid, definitely at the start of his career. But he's got a lot of attacking capabilities, in particular, the ability to see a pass, technical ability that maybe sets him apart, you know, that shows that he's really got some ability. Now, that's not to say he's going to be a 10 or a Nico Ladero replacement or anything like that. But he is a kid who can play, I think, in central midfield and potentially be effective. Now, he's got to grow. He has to develop. He's got to listen to Coach Weber. But he's certainly a prospect we're excited about, and we'll see what the future holds.
Okay, well, we'll stay tuned to him, and we'll continue talking about various Tacoma players and academy players coming up through these ranks as the year goes on, because there are so many different names to talk about and guys that are still trying to make their way from Tacoma to the first team. So as we did over these last couple of years, trying to feature one guy a week, I'll try to continue to do that. Garth Lagerwey, Seattle Sounders general manager and president of soccer. One thing more here for you, Garth, before we end the interview, and that's related to NFL draft week. And that was last week, and we covered every minute of the draft here on KJR, and it got me thinking about the MLS Super Draft. And I know we've talked for, you know, I think every single year we've done these interviews, we've talked about the MLS Super Draft and your philosophy on it and how you guys use the Super Draft. And one thing that's always stood out is how, for a lack of a better word, how not impactful it is. You know, we saw, you know, players, you know, we've only seen a couple really in the last five or so years stick with the first team. We saw Christian Roldan way back when, and Alex Roldan has done a fantastic job since he was drafted, but we haven't seen a lot of major impacts from other draft picks. And the NFL draft, you know, showing where it's a league where pretty much every single first and a lot of second round draft picks are instant starters, right? And in baseball, most of the first round picks are big time players and organizations that are going to be sticking with going through the organization for many years. And I'm wondering, as we look at the MLS Super Draft, which isn't as impactful, do you see a road, or is a road even possible to take the Super Draft to somewhere in those realms, to somewhere that is far more impactful? Or do the homegrown rules and do the signing rules and all of those kind of type of contracts that we've talked about here in recent weeks, does everything that's in place right now keep the Super Draft from ever getting to a level like that?
Look, I think that the NFL draft is the 800-pound gorilla. And the reason for that is there is no minor league for the NFL, right? I mean, the college football is very much its own industry, its own factory. And because of the nature of the sport, players have to physically develop for a longer period of time before they're able to handle the rigors of the NFL. For every other sport, NBA, MLB, hockey, et cetera, maybe hockey is more in the middle, but athletes are signing professional contracts at 17, 18 years old. And, you know, in soccer, you know, domestically, maybe even younger than that, if you talk about the Danny Levas and you know, some of the kids that maybe were entertaining signing this year. That means it's going to be a different path. You know, we look at those homegrown player signings and the Levas, the Atencios, the Ethan Doublers, as the three maybe biggest successful examples, as guys that we signed without a draft process, you know, and we put significant resources into that development, both from a staff perspective, from a resource perspective, from a travel perspective. So we really invest in that to try to create those players, develop those players. I think it's a critical element of MLS's strategy, because if you look at the expansion of the league, when I started in 2007 with Salt Lake, I believe there were 14 teams in the league. We're up to 27. So it's doubled in the last, 14 years. And in any other sport, that would have outstripped the number of players, and it would have resulted in a dilution, which would have lowered the quality of the product. But instead, MLS's quality has grown exponentially. And the reason for that is that we're able to draw players from all over the world. So, I mean, so it's a much bigger player pool than it is for any league other than maybe baseball and basketball. And even that, we're definitely a bigger pool than those guys, but those are maybe the best examples. Football on the other end of the spectrum, where it's almost solely domestic, again, which is why that draft is so important, because they're not really getting players from outside the country. Moreover, we've all, MLS as a whole, has poured literally, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars into academies because we had to make more soccer players. You know, that's, if you're going to go to a 32-team league eventually, you got to continue to develop more American soccer players. And we're doing that here, and we're really excited about the success we've had so far this season. Hopefully we can build on that and have it continue. And, you know, but I think the answer to your question is no, idea that a soccer draft is going to rise in prominence relative to an NFL draft, I think that's not happening, because you have academies and you have a different process than you do in the NFL.
Garth, that's all the time we have for here today, but huge match coming up this Sunday for you guys down at Providence Park in Portland. Sounders Timbers for, I'm not sure if it's 112 or what number, but there has been so many great moments in this rivalry, and here we go for another one on Sunday.
Excited to play the Timbers, great teams, you know, coming off Champions League, you know, arguably they're ahead of us in terms of their preparation, because they've been playing some knockout games already. So we're going to have to be ready for their best, but hopefully we can go down to their place and beat them.
Hopefully so. Garth, appreciate the time today. We will talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, Jackson.
Garth Lagerwey, Seattle Sounders general manager, president of soccer. Great stuff there. And once again, your Seattle Sounders heading to Oregon this Sunday, May 9th, for that Cascadia clash with the Portland Timbers. You can watch the 12 p.m. contest on ABC and listen right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR AM. And for Spanish language, check out El Rey 1360 AM. The 2021 Sounders FC season is presented by Primera Blue Cross, always in your corner. But we turn our attention from the Sounders down to Tacoma, down to Cheney Stadium, and we currently have a lot of developments going on down there. Tacoma Defiant season, as we just talked about with Garth, getting started. OL Rain picking up a win yesterday. Let's check in with Andrew Harvey. He is the Defiant's play-by-play voice. Each week he gives us 60 seconds on the South Sound, on everything going on with the Rain and Defiance.
Well, we finally hit the starting dates here in the South Sound, Jackson. Tacoma Defiance will begin the USL Championship season this Sunday when it faces LA Galaxy 2 on the road at 5 p.m. Los Dos are the only other directly owned MLS affiliate in Tacoma's division this season. The match will also mark Wade Weber's first official match in charge of the club since taking over for Chris Little, who departed to join the Colorado Rapids staff as his assistant coach in the offseason. Tacoma kicks off against LA on 5 p.m. on Sunday, and that match can be viewed on ESPN+. OL Rain rounded out the NWSL Challenge Cup with a win last night, taking down Kansas City 2-1. Despite conceding an early goal, a Jess Fishlock penalty and a late header from Celia were enough to see the club finish the preliminary round of the competition with a 2-1-1 record, good enough for second place in the Western Conference. The club will begin the regular season on May 15th, when it plays host to the North Carolina Courage. I'm Andrew Harvey, and this has been 60 Seconds in the South Sound.
Thanks, Andrew. Great stuff there from the Tacoma Defiance play-by-play voice on all things OL Rain and Defiance each and every week, so make sure to check out that first Tacoma match coming up. OL Rain continuing their good start to the 2021 season. But let's turn our attention back to the first team, and it's Portland coming up this Sunday. And as he always does for these previews for Sounders Timbers, Jake Zivin, the Portland Timbers play-by-play voice, will join us next to look ahead to this match and how a match tomorrow for the Timbers will affect Sunday down at Providence Park. Jake Zivin is coming up next on Sounders Weekly on Sports Radio 950.
K100.
Now back to Sounders Weekly on your home for Sounders FC. Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Welcome back. Jackson Fouts here on your radio home for the Rave Green. Thanks for spending your Tuesday evening here with us. Thanks to Kellen Rowe, Garth Lagerwey, Andrew Harvey for all being parts of the show tonight. But you all know what time it is. It's time to preview the Sounders' next match. And it is Portland Timbers, Seattle Sounders, the Derby again. I'm not sure exactly what number game this is, whether it's 1, 13, 14, or 15. That'll come in the research here in the next few days as we count you down to Sunday. But joining us right now is the play-by-play voice of the Portland Timbers, as he always does for these games, to help us preview Sounders Timbers. It's Jake Zivin. Jake, thanks so much for coming back on the show. How are you?
Jackson, thanks for bringing me in with the jams as well, with the little Jackson 5. Ooh. Is that because of your name? Did you play, like, do you frequently come back in with the Jackson 5, or am I just special and I'm getting one of the greatest songs ever made?
I agree. It is one of the greatest songs ever made. I actually just always use it for the final segment of the show because it's funny. It was in a movie recently, I don't know, about a decade ago. I forget exactly what one it was, and I heard it, and I just fell in love with it, and I have been using it on the final segment of Sounders Weekly since we started the show 3 or 4 years ago, and it is absolutely one of my favorite songs. So, unfortunately, you aren't special specifically, Jake. I always use it, but it is a great song, and I appreciate you for recognizing
it. My wife would agree with you. So. By the way, I'm going 112 for this, by the way, according to the records that we keep, and I kind of go off the official records of the Timbers, and we're saying 112 all time, all era. John Strong would have a big beef with me on that. He does not count those games in the 80s where I think the Sounders weren't even known as the Sounders, but officially the Timbers and Sounders do. So I'm going 112. Don't tell John Strong; he'll be mad about that.
I may go a little bit others and include the, because it depends how you call it, right? If you call it it's the Seattle versus Portland rivalry, then you can include those terms. So
exactly.
Well, whatever number it is, it's going to be fun here coming up on Sunday. Once again, it's going to be an 11:30 pregame, 12:00 kickoff right here on KJR. But Jake, let's talk to you about what Portland's season has been like so far. We know it was a loss to Vancouver, a win over Houston, and then just this last weekend, I watched it yesterday here in our sports pit at KJR, a 4-1 loss to Dallas. We'll talk about the CONCACAF Champions League in a moment, but just overall in MLS competition, what has the season looked like so far for you?
Yeah, I think you can't talk about that without talking about the CCL, because the Timbers' focus has been on CCL. And they admitted that. Gio said after the game against Dallas, he said, look, we're limited. They are limited. They've been dealing with injuries. Sebastian Blanco, Jeremy Bobasi, Yaroslav Nizgoda, Bobasi finally came off the bench against Dallas. But he wasn't ready for the beginning of the season. That's two DPs, and that's Ibobisi, a national team, national team player. Christian Paredes hurt in the first leg against Club America. Ishmael Jom, who was a depth piece towards Achilles in training after the first game of the year. He's out. So they're dealing with injuries. They've got two goalkeepers that are hurt in Steve Clark and Ali Azibicic. So Jeff Adanella and 19-year-old Hunter Solt, the only healthy keepers on the roster. Gio playing very safe, wanting to make sure Jeff Adanella was ready for the Azteca. Starts Hunter Solt, who wasn't at fault, certainly, I don't think, for four goals. Tough way for him to debut, the second youngest goalkeeper ever to start a game in MLS. And he has to, gives up four goals. Again, not his fault. So you look at the 4-1 result, and I think on paper, it's like, man, that's not great. But then the context of it, given that the CCL game, the second leg against Club America is tomorrow, and that was the focus, makes a little more sense. Started a mixed group. Basically, everybody that is going to play, is going to feature significantly, is going to start against Club America, got 45 minutes in that game because they had to put 11 players in the field. I think he would have liked to give more guys the day off completely, like he did with Diego Chara, but just not able to because of, healthy bodies and having to play a game in MLS. So that's tough, but man, it's a huge game tomorrow night against Club America in Azteca, and that's where the team's focus has been.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about that right there. And once again, Jake Zivin, Portland Timbers play-by-play voice, is our guest here on Sounders Weekly. It was 1-1 in Portland last week in the first leg of the quarterfinal there in CONCACAF Champions League. Tomorrow night is the second leg. So you're seeing the same sort of emphasis on that coming tomorrow night, where you're seeing potentially Valeri starting in that game and the key starters playing in that, but maybe not playing as much or not playing at all in the Seattle game. How is this going to shake out?
Yeah, I think that's different. I wouldn't necessarily put that on, say, okay, what we saw against Dallas is what we're going to see against Seattle, because obviously if they advance past Club America, if they get a result, and then the semifinals aren't until August. So now it's kind of, okay, we're back in the season. Maybe they don't play 90, but I don't know. I haven't talked to Gio about the plan. I'm not sure what the plan is, but, you know, thinking, putting myself in his shoes, that Dallas game is the one you, I don't want to use the word throwaway because I don't think that's fair, but that's the one you rotate super heavily. It's in between the two legs. You need guys to be ready and as fresh as possible for that second leg. So that's the one that you're super careful with, that you rotate as much as you can for, and you make sure everybody is ready to go Wednesday night, 7:15 at Azteca. You get through the game at Azteca, and then I think you see where everybody's at fitness-wise, right? I mean, man, the sports science is amazing, so I'm sure they'll look at those numbers, they'll analyze the data, and then they'll make a decision on who can start on Sunday after what happened on Wednesday. But I don't think it's going to be the same situation in the sense of, like, we can't, you know, we have to rotate as much as possible because we need to be ready for a game that's in the future. It's more, let's see what happened in this game. Let's see who's able to start on Sunday, and we'll give it a go. And look, they're not, it's Portland-Seattle, right?
Yeah.
That's not a game that they're going to throw away. That's not a game they're going to look past. They're going to do everything they can to put the best team on the field as they can.
For sure, especially at home as well. By the way, on that point, are fans going to be in attendance there at Providence Park?
Yeah, look, I'm not the person to talk about that. I'm not the person that's knowledgeable about that, right? That's way above my head. What I do know is the team's proposed to the governor to host at 15%, which is basically what they've been doing with no food or beverage. So, you know, masks on completely for everybody the whole time. The club feels like they've already done a good job with the five games that there's been between the Timbers and the Thorns so far with fans. And, you know, I'm sure they're just waiting to find out, but it's way above my head and I don't know. And, you know, I know the club, as I said, is hopeful that they want it to happen, but those discussions are going on far above my pay grade.
Absolutely. Last thing here for you, Jake, and that is how this Portland team looks different from a team that the Sounders saw a ton of times in 2020. Of course, with all of those games against just the West Coast teams, we saw each other so much last year. How does this Portland Timbers team look different from the one it did 7-8 months ago?
They brought back most of the core. What they swapped out were the outside backs. So Jorge Villafana is gone. Marco Farfán is gone. Chris Duval, not on the roster. So they brought in two, a right back and a left back. A right back is Jose Carlos Van Rankin, a veteran of Liga MX, most recently with Chivas de Guadalajara. And on the left back, they brought in Claudio Bravo, a young Argentina youth international, part of their under-23 Olympic qualifying team. Certainly in the discussion to be there in Tokyo with them this summer, but he was on the group that helped them qualify over a year ago, as it was now. And they both love to get forward. They both love to attack. Good on the ball. I think decent defensively as well. But they provide, I think, a different dimension going forward in the attack, especially Van Rankin, and provide depth there. So but that's it. I mean, that's literally, as I said, Ishmael Jome, he's hurt, but he was brought in, he was new. And then Hunter Solt, the goalkeeper they signed at the end of last year as a homegrown, that they only made four changes, only brought in four players. So it's a very similar group, the same names that Sounders fans are used to, you know, Valeri, Chara, now Eric Williamson, who has emerged, and Sounders fans saw that. It's kind of one of his breakout games at Lumen Field in September when Seba Torres ACL scored a very similar goal actually against Dallas than that first goal against Seattle. He's a great player, and he gives them so much. So Eric Williamson, Tyrone Espria is still around. You know, Sounders fans know him well, right? Andy Polo, Marvin Loria, Felipe Mora up top, Diego Valeri. So, yeah, the group looks very similar to groups in the past years, and that's because it's a strong roster, and they're running it back, so to speak.
There you go. So Bravo and Van Rankin, those two names that we're for sure going to get to know very quickly here in our games in 2021. Well, Jake, that's all the time we have left here, but here we go. 112 or whatever number it is. Seattle, Portland Timbers, Sounders cannot wait for Sunday, man. Thank you so much for lending us a few minutes of your time today.
Hey, can't wait. Timber Sounders is always wonderful. I can't wait to be in the building on Sunday. And thanks for having me, Jackson.
Jake Zivin, Portland Timbers play-by-play voice. Well, tomorrow will be interesting to see what Portland puts out there in the CONCACAF Champions League, because if they start a whole bunch of their really star veteran players, then they may not play much against the Sounders on Sunday. So pay very, very close attention. I'll try to cover it as much as I can on my Twitter, at Jackson B. Feltz, and we'll see exactly what Portland puts out, because we'll get a very big indication of what we may see on Sunday down at Providence Park. Because you're seeing Seattle Sounders heading to Oregon this Sunday, May 9th, for that clash against the Portland Timbers. You can watch the 12 p.m. contest on ABC. And of course, as always, I encourage you to listen right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR AM. And for Spanish language, check out El Rey 1360. The 2021 Sounders FC season is presented by Primera Blue Cross, always in your corner. So that will do it for the show tonight. I want to thank all of the guests. It was Kellen Rowe, Garth Lagerway, Andrew Harvey, and Jake Zivin right there. If you missed any of it, make sure to check out the podcast, sportsradiokjr.com, and the iHeartRadio app. Just search Sounders Weekly. And hey, if you are looking for more exclusive interviews and insights on Sounders FC, make sure to catch the club's Side-by-Side podcast, hosted by Steve Zakuani and Brad Evans. New episodes drop every Thursday at soundersfc.com/sidebysidepodcast, or listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I can attest, the club's Side-by-Side podcast with Steve and Brad is fantastic. It is very well worth your listen there when it drops on Thursday. But that will do it for our show tonight. So we will talk to you on Sunday, 11:30 pregame, 12 o'clock kickoff. Sounders Timbers, can't wait for it. Fox Sports.